I'm here on the job site with Dale, who's a framing contractor.
Hey, good morning.
Dale traded up to Geico Commercial Auto Insurance for all his business vehicles. We're here where he needs us most.
Yep, they sure are.
We make it easy for him to save on all his insurance needs, all in one place, with coverage that fits his business and bottom line. Oh, I shouldn't have looked down.
It's all right.
We're so far up here.
Look at me. Take a deep breath.
No, I'm good. So good.
Get a commercial auto insurance quote today at Geico.com and see how much you could save. Get more with Geico.
AI agents are everywhere, automating tasks and making decisions at machine speed. But agents make mistakes. Just one rogue agent can do big damage before you even notice. Rubrik Agent Cloud is the only platform that helps you monitor agents, set guardrails, and rewind mistakes, so you can unleash agents, not risk. Accelerate your AI transformation at Rubrik.com. That's Rubrik.com.
0141-951-1025. It's time to talk football. It's Clyde One Super Scoreboard.
Good evening and welcome to Clyde One Super Scoreboard on the eve of the new Scottish Premiership season. Brendan Rodgers says he has held contract talks but only wants to stay if there's going to be progression. Rangers signed Tottenham youngster Mikey Moore on loan. Dundee United are through, but there's late heartbreak for Hibs in Europe. I'm Gordon Duncan and joining me tonight you have Scott Allen and Hugh Keevans.
Brendan Rodgers is fed up with the people who employ him. Celtic are at the crossroads and the new season will kick off tomorrow with the Rangers supporters more optimistic than the Celtic supporters. The fans are disgusted by the lack of activity on the transfer market. Kyogo left 8 months ago, Nicholas Kuhn left in the window, and Jota will not be seen until 2026, and Celtic have not done anything to address that situation. Hence the reason why Brendan Rodgers put them in their place this afternoon.
Happy new season.
Happy. I'm just about to say, Hugh, continue where he left off at the end of last season. Really positive there, especially with the Celtic support. Now, I think for me, I just want to touch on, obviously, the Scottish clubs in Europe this week. Obviously, Rangers and Dundee United, obviously, making it through to the next round. But Hibs last night, I was at the game. It was absolutely devastating in terms of how the game finished for them. But it was a real bit of magic that won, obviously, Mitchell and the game. And that's in the season's upon us. Can't wait.
I found it to be the height of irony, Scott, that David Gray, who became Sir David Gray on the back of a goal scored in extra time and the dying seconds of extra time at that, went as a loser against the Michelin because of the same circumstances. But as David knows, sometimes it's in your favour and sometimes it works against you. And last night, heroic though they may have been, it worked against him.
This is it. It is upon us. A long summer over. The Premiership season returns tomorrow. Most of the other leagues as well. There's a soft launch for the Championship tonight, but tomorrow is when it all kicks off. So get all your thoughts in, please. 0141 951 1025. We have got so much to get through. Those comments from Brendan Rodgers, very, very interesting on the eve of the new season. We're going to play them, and I want to know what you make of that, Celtic fans. Very interesting stuff from him. Rangers fans, how do you rate the signing of Mikey Moore? And then, Hugh, we're going to take on something ambitious tonight. Oh. Are you ready for this? Between now and 8 o'clock, me, you, Scott Allen, and a fan of every team in the Premiership to give it the full preview that it deserves.
So I have to break it to a Dundee fan that they're going down?
Something like that.
Oh, well, that's life.
Think we'll manage? Think we'll extend the show?
Yeah, we'll do it. We'll be able to do it, won't we?
Of course.
Okay, let's get stuck straight in. 0141 951 1025. Celtic fans, listen to this and give us your thoughts, please. This is Brendan Rodgers talking about his contractual situation.
I said when I came here first that I'd do 3 years minimum. People had me out the door at the end of last season or going various places. And I said then, and like I'll say now, that there's nowhere to go. I love being here. I've done 2 years. I've got one more year to go. Dermot and Michael and I had a conversation over the summer on where we were at and where it sits with myself and everything else. And I said, I'm very happy here. There's conditions we want in to be able to improve and be better, because I'm not the type of manager that's good maintaining anything. If it's just something to maintain, I'm not the manager for Celtic. It'll be someone else. But to build and grow and develop and push, then, of course, I love being at Celtic. So my ambition is for Celtic. It's not for me, right? My ambition is for Celtic to be the best that it can be. I've been in the game quite a long time now, so I think I understand what we need to succeed. We did that last year. We brought in certain players that helped our profile when we moved into the Champions League. And those players come in and really helped us in the Champions League. And I think everyone felt good about the Champions League last year, that we progressed, played some great football, and took a club that set a way beyond our budget, ran them very, very close. Great. So my ambition now is to keep us going in that direction. And that's what our conversations are about.
John is a Celtic fan first through tonight. John, what's your reading of that from Brendan Rodgers today?
Me, Sue, Craven, Sue, Scott and Andrew, is it tonight? Would you call it? I think he's laying down the gauntlet, Sue. What do you think?
Without doubt. But, you know, Brendan Rodgers, I'm very, very surprised with regard to Dermot Desmond, Celtic's owner in all but name. Because best business practice for me, John, has always been that at the start of the manager's last season, you establish whether there will be another season after that or whether you have done with him. I'm amazed that Celtic did not offer Brendan Rodgers a new contract, kick off the season in the most positive fashion possible. And I think that Brendan Rodgers has looked about him now and thought, I'm fed up with these people.
I'm not sure about Scott, because he says he wants to stay. So you have to take the man at face value. He said he wants to stay and he's happy here. But it's clearly, there is obviously more to it than that. Again, he's got a third of his contract left. I don't know if it has to be done by now, but it's more about what he says that there about if it's just something to maintain. I'm not the manager for Celtic, it's something else, you know, want to build and grow. I'm not just going to sit here and maintain levels. Like, that's just so deliberate. He's not daft. Every word he chooses carefully. It's just so deliberate.
That's well, he's thought that out and knew exactly what he was saying. I think it's a fair point. I think Brendan Rodgers said the same when the conclusion to the Champions League campaign last year came to an end with the Bayern. He wanted to grow. He wants the club to obviously compete in Europe down to the later stages, which we always go back to. Celtic don't need to spend that money because we compare it to our domestic game. But I think him as a football manager, in terms of, he said it's all about Celtic. But I think that challenging him to see how far he can take Celtic and leave a huge legacy. I understand wanting to bring the players in, but I think the board, they look at a bit of realism in it and think, can we really compete into the latter stages of the Champions?
Yeah, but they have an obligation to progress on a domestic level as well. You know, Brendan Rodgers is fed up trying to get a show of ambition from the people who employ him, and I go back to it.
Realistically, in Europe, we talk about ambition and how much money Celtic would need to spend to get a certain type of player. What is the ambition? Because obviously, qualifying out the league phase, which you did last year, was a huge achievement. Obviously, with the new setup of the champ. After that, then where do you think Celtic could be if the board throw money at it?
Well, first of all, let me say, in chronological order, Celtic season begins, the defence of the title begins in less than 24 hours. No replacement for Kyogo, no replacement for Nicholas Kuhn. The loss of Greg Taylor, significant.
Tierney's replaced there, to be fair.
Yeah, but, you know, Kieran may not play every game. They're lackadaisical at that front. And Brendan used the word maintain. If you want someone to maintain something, then I'm not your man. Well, in Europe, he does not want to maintain the progress that was made in the season gone by. He wants to better that progress.
Yep.
And they have the cash, and there is an inexplicable, unfathomable reluctance to spend money.
I wonder if the truth is just somewhere in the middle, though, because I know where you're going with that. Well, you can go and spend 60 million if you like. You still might not get past Bayern Munich. That's the point you're trying to make.
You need the right players
as
well.
To go back to Brendan Rodgers earlier in the week, he brought it back to arithmetic, and that's what he was talking about. Just before you even worry about what the next step is, can you even be as strong as you finished last season? That's priority, isn't it?
He's got every right to
go back to the great Sir Alex in his biography, page 147. Complacency is a disease.
Is it that page?
Yeah.
I'm going to get somebody to check that. What do you think, John? Brendan Rodgers, the timing, you know, it's the season starting tomorrow as well. Do you feel like it's really just deliberate, Brendan Rodgers, just trying to make sure everyone is on the same page going forward, airing it publicly like this?
I mean, the last time he left, all right, he shouldn't have left the way he left, right? But obviously, Brendan, he had ambition, and the Celtic board didn't show his ambition. And then, when obviously the disaster goes for the 10 in a row, and then Ange Postecoglou came in, right? Ange Postecoglou was back very early in the transfer window shoot, the 2 years he was here. Uh-huh. All the players were in there. It seems to be going back to reverting back to type the way it used to be. And to me, it's as if, I don't know if they think Brendan's going to leave at the end of the season, so they're just not going to bother. But I don't really agree with you a lot, sure, but I agree with this man, you know what I mean? They just, Celtic are not even as strong. You want to build on your success.
So far, John, and I'll underline those words, so far in this transfer window, Brendan Rodgers has been betrayed by his employers.
On that note, let's hear a bit more from Brendan Rodgers on that topic. Celtic fans, what do you think? Give us your thoughts, please, on Brendan Rodgers' comments today. We're going to hear the manager on the transfer business.
There's still a wee bit of work to do. I think that it's a huge credit to the guys that are here, how well they've worked. But the squad will hopefully look again different come the end of the window. So I think it's very clear we need to improve in the front end of the pitch. You know, that's, you know, the attacking department is always and always will be the strengths of my teams, and we've lost important players in that area, and we need to replace it. Players in that area. We would love to get players in earlier. There's no doubt I would have liked to have had players in now, but it's not the case. So I'm not going to kill my own joy and overthinking stuff. I focus on what's here. We know the work that we need to do, and it's my responsibility to convince the club that we really need them. And clearly, I'm not doing that job as well as maybe what I can. But I will continue to pursue that because it's something that's really important for us.
It keeps slipping in the subtle dig. If it's not, it's all about arithmetic.
There's about seven digs in there.
Yeah, then it was quite clear. In other words, it'd be as well opening a door at the recruitment office or at the boardroom door and shouting, "Is there anybody in there?"
Because I'm not, it doesn't even really matter whether you think he's right or the board are right, if it's even that black and white. You know, leave that to the Celtic fans can decide, but I think even the line that just jumped out at the end there, I thought was excellent as well. You know, they joke about the box office side of it, but you know, it's, you know, I need to convince the board that it's right to do, but I'm obviously not doing a good enough job. I think that is, like I say, what, so calculated. It must be.
What more does the man have to do?
But at the same time, Hugh, he did say, but the squad will look completely different come the end of the window at the same time.
And is that the bit that everybody needs to just bear in mind? Now, granted, you would rather do it all early. Of course you would, and there's a big Champions League game, and yes, the league starts tomorrow and all the rest of it. But real hysteria probably has to wait for the end of the transfer window.
We'd a caller,
I know you've gone early. You're excited about the new season. I can sense it from you. But
we'd a caller while you were away in your 9 week sabbatical.
That's why John thought it was Andrew.
When I brought up the subject of Celtic and their inactivity in the transfer market, and he said, "This is Hugh just being Hugh." Well, come on onto the phone tonight again. Let us know how you feel, because all of your supporters.
Brendan.
Yeah. You know, it's as plain as the nose in your face. He's fed up.
0141 951 1025. Thank you to John on the line. Keep the calls coming. Rangers fans, what do you make of the signing of Mikey Moore? We're also going to fly around every club in the top flight. That is our ambitious aim tonight, to try and preview everything ahead of the new league season. So do get in touch, give us a call, send us a tweet to Clyde SSB as well, and we'll work our way through it together, because it's like Christmas Eve. What season is this for you, Hugh, in the industry? Number
57 in a row.
Is it?
Yeah.
It's your 57th season.
I heard Roger Hanna having a wee joke on Monday night, and I thought, don't know how many it has been. So, where's the camera? I wrote it down.
That is incredible.
Why did you have to write them all out one by one? Can you count?
Well, you know,
just to be sure.
I started in season 69-70. And now I'm in season 25, 26, 57 seasons in a row. I'm claiming a world record.
I'm sitting writing them all out one by one. Anyway, James is on the line. How are you, James?
Hi, how are you all doing? I can speak without anybody butting in. That seemed at who. I just think it's predictable for you who that he's attacking somebody at Celtic in regards to the Celtic board. He seems to be attacking. I mean, they have backed Rodgers. They gave him $27 million last summer. We have signed players so far this summer. We don't know anything really about them. And we've still got a month to go in the transfer window. And, like, everybody knows every club in every league has got their place when it comes to actually doing transfers, targets, who they're going for. And for all we know, Celtic could have been going for players and different players like that. They've either decided not to come or it's not really went anywhere because maybe they went elsewhere. I know Brendan's come out and says what he says because obviously, I wouldn't say, I think frustration is maybe too strong. I mean, me personally, I thought it would have been at least a couple, I'll say, maybe in the £5 to £7 million bracket signings. But when you look at, when you see ones that's actually left, like two centre-halves and Lager, Bielka and Naroski, they must have something in the wings there. So I think who, once again, it's the eve of a new season and he's attacking somebody.
You are not listening, you're not paying attention, you are not interpreting the words of your manager. It is your manager who is attacking those who employ him, who has put in one subtle dig after another about it's all about arithmetic or it's quite clear what we need. He is the one who's gone on the attack. Not me. I am listening to his words and giving you my interpretation.
Do you agree with him?
Absolutely, 100%.
Right, so for weeks and weeks, I've been listening to you and you've been saying how well I run a club, Celtic, are, and how did they terrific in the transfer windies.
So no. I think the bank balance tells you that they are wonderfully efficient at right. that side of the business. Right. But so for example, give you Adam Eder, £9 million. Are you having a laugh? They waited until the end of the transfer window and then they get caught and they panicked and they paid £9 million for Adam Eder when he isn't worth a third of that.
But for every one of those, there's a Nicholas Kuhn at a couple of million, a Hatate yep. for a couple of million. So you can't just pick out, you know, the bad examples, because you said the balance sheet looks very good. That doesn't happen by accident. That happens for a reason.
They have been acknowledged by the business sector as being the best run club in British football. But I go back to the manager. This is not me. This is the manager of the club in the final year of his contract telling you that less than 24 hours before he begins the defence of the title, he has not been given enough players and major areas of the team, the vacancies there have not been addressed. Brendan Rodgers said it over and over again. Not me.
Thank you very much to James, 0141 951 1025. Don't forget, we want to preview every team in the top flight tonight, so it's going to be an interesting next hour and a half or so. Get your thoughts in on that topic if you want. We can squeeze a few more in. And Rangers fans, what about the signing of Mikey Moore? Let's do that now as well. Call us right now. We'll speak to you next.
Number one for football in Glasgow and the West, 0141 951 1025. Clyde One Super Scoreboard.
Hugh Keevans and Scott Allen are about to be joined on the line by Wee Frank. How's it going, Wee Frank?
Aye, all right, mate.
What are you thinking?
Just sitting, come out in the taxi right now, and this thing came on about Brendan Rodgers. Mm-hmm. No, a big fan of Brendan Rodgers. I've been a season ticket holder at Parkhead for nearly 40 years. No, a big fan of Rodgers for what he done. It's the first time he came. But aye, I've learned to live with it and I've gone with it. I've renewed my season ticket and I'm 100% behind the guy today for what he's come out and said regarding getting money for players and things like that.
So I say, I've been a season ticket holder for nearly 40 years at Parkhead. I give them my money every season, buy your kits, first kit, second kit, third kit, the whole lot. And every year you usually get something off Celtic. This year, Celtic fans have been fleeced with Celtic and Peter Lawwell regarding games, season ticket money. Now, normally you get a pre-season cup game, a pre-season and a cup game, including your season ticket. Celtic fans get hee-haw this year, not a thing, and they're expecting us to plough money into the club and they don't want to put it back out. But no, I'm 100% behind Brendan Rodgers. If he doesn't get the money, I think the guy should walk.
See, when you say that though, Frank, you know, don't get anything back and not getting the money. 11 million for Arnie Ingles, 9 for Adam Eder and 6 for Austin Trusty, just 3, well, you know, only a year ago. Is it really accurate to say that Celtic don't spend money?
They're not wanting to advance. They're quite happy with what they've got. Me, I wouldn't give you £9 for Adam Eder.
Right, but that's a different matter. But that's a different matter, because that's about, are you getting value for it? But you're saying they don't want to advance. They broke the transfer record twice, I think, in the one summer. Is that not trying to advance? Even if you think they've got it wrong, fair enough. But that sounds like trying to advance.
That's last year, and they're trying to progress in the Champions League. They're not going to do it if they don't spend money.
That's the other question, Frank. You know, Celtic have a Champions League draw coming up Monday. They'll find out who they play, and for Celtic not to advance into the Champions League group stages is, first of all, a tremendous drop in income. Secondly, a loss of prestige. And Brendan Rodgers is constantly having to goad the people who employ him into getting things done. And here we are, the draw for that Champions League playoff is on Monday, and Brendan Rodgers, the Friday before, is pleading with Celtic to do something about getting players in.
Is it more about, Scott, first and foremost, that making sure you're stronger than you were last season? Because we could go round all night on this. We've done it time and time again about progression in the Champions League. Because Celtic did progress in the Champions League last season. They ran into Bayern Munich. They actually went pretty close.
Yeah.
And then, you know, what do you need to do? Celtic could spend 30 million, 50 million, and still not get beyond the stage that they got last season. That's just the reality of it. But I think clearly is the sort of replenishing what's gone, and then even adding those small increments before you think about how you definitely take on the Champions League.
I think that was the key word there. You used replenish, and guys who they maybe thought would have come in last year and done better than they did, can they get rid of them and bring in a bit more quality? I think we could all kind of agree that was as strong as a bench Celtic had in a few years last season. And I think the word that Brendan Rodgers has used in terms of "I'm not your guy to maintain," that sounds like one of the conversations that he's maybe had where maybe this year we've spent money. Obviously, spoke about the transfer fees that they spent last year. Can we maintain it on a lower budget this year? And I think that's completely in his rights to disagree with that. He spoke after that Bayern Munich game about obviously going out and being stronger, but it is difficult if you don't get the right players, because like we said, between Hugh, obviously Frank who's phoned in, 9 million they spent in Adam Eder. Everybody after his loan spell wanted to get Adam Eder in. They spend 9 million, he still scored 20 goals last year, and people are saying they wouldn't spend £9 on him. So it's a very interesting situation. But
they lost Kyogo in January, didn't replace him, and by the time they got to the cup final against Aberdeen in May, he finished the cup final with Johnny Kenny and Yang up front. Now, for the want of greater activity in the transfer market, a world record 9th treble was lost. A piece of Celtic history was lost to Brendan Rodgers, because no Celtic manager has ever won 3 trebles. And he finished the cup final with Johnny Kenny and Yang up front.
Thank you to wee Frank. Rangers have made a signing today, Mikey Moore on loan from Tottenham. Let's get Russell Martin's reaction to securing that one on a season-long loan.
Yeah, he wouldn't be here if we didn't. So I think age is irrelevant, really. If you're good enough, you're old enough. And I certainly think he's good enough to impact games for us and to help us win games of football. And I'm really pleased and delighted that Spurs have allowed him to come here, because a lot of people that were interested in Mikey, and he's... he was desperate to come in. And I said that many people that are desperate to come here and play football, and he was that. We enjoy working with young players, enjoy playing a part in their development, and I think we can help Mikey, but most importantly, he can help us win on the pitch. We're not here to just help other teams develop football players. We're here to win, and he can help us do that. And if we can win whilst developing people and players as well, then I think that's the ultimate goal. No, I think the more options we have in the top line, the better. And Finley's really versatile, as is Mikey, so I don't think it stunts one of our own. I think it helps him playing with a really, really top player all the time and picking up and learning. And Finley's such a good learner, so I don't see it as being harmful to him at all.
Andy's a Rangers fan. What do you make of that signing, Andy?
Hi, guys. How you doing?
Good, thanks.
I'm seeing the producer. I'm going to ask you and Ross, and I think that he's been promised a lot of game times to come up and play for Rangers. And I'm thinking, why, if he's no, why come up here? I mean, the Dustin Russell Martin, the boy's got a lot of talent, but surely they'll obviously say to him, you're going to get a lot of game time.
Yep. Spurs will have asked the extent to which he'll be used, and Spurs will have been satisfied by Rangers' answer, I have absolutely no doubt. We're obsessed by age, either how young you are or how old you are. He's played first team football for Tottenham. He'll be just fine up here, and he'll get plenty of game time.
Yeah, you'd imagine Spurs, a lot of the English players, when they do go out on loan, they have in their contract that they have to play maybe a certain amount of minutes. If they don't, then I think the club would then have to pay some sort of money towards them at the end of the month. That's quite common in modern football now, when top clubs, I'm saying top clubs, obviously Tottenham didn't have a great season in the Premier League, but so I would imagine Rangers have guaranteed a certain amount of minutes for the boy. I've seen him quite a few times last year. He is a special talent. Russell Martin obviously touches on the impact of Finlay Curtis. To be fair to Mikey Moore, he can play right across that middle three for Rangers. He's versatile, as he says, he can go either side, so I think he's a real exciting player for Rangers fans to see at Ibrox.
Why'd you ask, Andy? Are you not quite convinced then? You're not sure?
No, everything I've heard about the boy is brilliant, but I'm just thinking, if they're going to bring him up, he's going to get a lot of getting. Just like it was here, I'm quite excited about the young boy, you know what I mean? But I just hope that we still need a lot of work done at Rangers now, as you know. I know we qualified, but we still struggled a lot.
Well, I think Russell Martin agrees. I think he said as much today. So thank you to Andy, reflecting on the signing of Mikey Moore. Of course, Rangers and Celtic getting a lot of airtime on the show this week, as is always the case. But we have made a commitment tonight. We want to preview every single team in the top flight and work our way towards tomorrow, where it all kicks off. So we'll do that next.
You are the voice of Scottish football. Call 0141 951 1025. Clyde One Super Scoreboard.
Hugh Keevans and Scott Allen are here. We've been dealing with the stories of the day. Brendan Rodgers' very interesting comments about his future and Celtic's transfer plans. Mikey Moore signing for Rangers, but it is the eve of the new Premiership season, and I want to give it a proper preview and look ahead to everything that lies in wait. So let's dive in. We're going to try and go around every single team in the top flight. Let's start. Why don't we go to the capital? We give loads of love and attention to Glasgow here, clearly. Let's go to the capital. We've got Liam from the This Is My Story podcast, clearly a Hearts fan, on the line. And would you look at that? From the Hibs Ramble on the other side, another Liam on both lines. How are we both?
I'm good. No bad, Gordon, thank you.
Let's start with the Hibs side of it, because fresh in the memory last night, before we preview the season, Liam, how are the emotions after last night?
I'm absolutely devastated, Gordon, I'm not going to lie to you. I came home and I cried all night. All I wanted was a penalty shootout, and I never got it.
To the other Liam on the line, don't you laugh?
Listen, there's nothing good about your rivals conceding an overhead kick in the 120th minute. No one enjoys that.
Let's look forward then. We said we wanted to preview the season for you both. Let's go, like I say, stick with Hibs to Liam from the Hibs Ramble. Sum up your thoughts. What are you thinking ahead of this season then?
I'm just hoping that we can continue the same sort of trajectory that we were on last season, because towards the end of the season last year we were great. And my concern was that after the break that perhaps we wouldn't be as good if we maybe let the team kind of separate a little bit. But it looks like it's only Kiantis that's the only one that's not really coming back. So thankfully we've managed to keep a good portion of the squad together, and I'm very, very hopeful that we'll be able to have another good season this year. We may not get as far as third, but I think we'll certainly have a fairly good season.
Liam, do you want Grant Hanley?
I do, actually. I think that he'd be a good addition, and it's a lot of experience, and experience at a very, very high level is something that we kind of lack in our back line at the moment. So I think it would be a sensible addition, especially if Lewis Miller goes or Marvin Ekpeteta. So I'd be quite happy with Grant Hanley. Of course, he gets a lot of stick from Scotland fans and stuff, but I think up here, he'd probably stroll it for any club.
Do you think Kieran Bowie will still be there at the end of the window?
Kieran Bowie at Hibs?
Yeah.
Absolutely. He'll be here. He'll be here for years. We'll make 10, 15 million of him.
To Liam from the Hearts Corner, same question to you. How do you sum up how you think this season's going to go or your hopes for this season?
Yeah, I think for the first time in about 11 years, made a sensible managerial decision. We've got a guy that tried and tested in the league. We've coasted through, no scares in the League Cup. So yeah, positive, really positive. I think that there's a bit of a feel-good factor back at Hearts, and I'm interested in to see how we do now that the sort of proper games start. You know, I think we're much, much further ahead in terms of preparation for the new season than Aberdeen. I'll be interested to see how that plays out on Monday night, because Hearts were really, really, really good against Sunderland. You know, we dominated that game, and it's pretty impressive from where we were last year, the lows of last year. So yeah, looking forward to it.
Don't want to burst your bubble, but I think you're a stick on for third.
Oh geez, that's the last thing Andy needs to hear. On that Hearts topic, Liam, how would you sum up the transfer business? Because a lot's been made, obviously, about Jamestown Analytics and the way that all works, and Derek McInnes's maybe in the past. I think the perception is that he's kind of in charge of his own destiny in that regard, and signs players who tend to have played in Scottish football before and are British based. But speaking to him and listening to him, he really seems to be embracing these avenues that have opened up to him in terms of recruitment, doesn't he?
Yeah, I think you've got to get the mix right, and I think with Derek you've got it. You know, you're getting a guy that knows the league. That's the thing that's caught out the last few managers that we've had, is the games that, you know, you have to have something a bit different to go and break them down. So he'll blend them in together. They look a right good mix, but you need tried and tested Scottish guys. So I think the core of the team, the spine of the team, will remain guys that know the league, and he'll try and bleed in the guys that we've seen. You know, Claudio Braga looks like a great signing.
Hold on, but can't go any talk to me about that song for him.
I seen someone songified it today, which made me laugh.
Have you seen it, Hugh?
No.
All we need is Claudio Braga to the tune of Radio Gaga. Very good, I must admit.
Yeah, I have admit, that's good. Yeah.
It'll be half time before the time we get to the good bit if we start singing that song.
I know. Fair play for giving it the proper treatment all the way from the start. To the green corner, you've got a nice wee catchy number for playing away in Europe, do you not?
Oh, I tell you what, it was ringing through my head all week after hearing it in Denmark last week, honestly.
You giving us a rendition?
No for free.
I think Edinburgh is going to be a really vibrant city in this season about to begin, and I really do think Hearts for third place for me, and Hibs right behind them in fourth.
Well, I'm going to ask the guys for the predictions in the not too distant future. Let's get a couple of other sort of semi-predictions, if you like. Start on the Hibs side of it. Who do you think your main man is going to be this season?
I think it'd be difficult to look past Martin Boyle, to be honest. Our main man last season, managed to tie him down for another year. I think he's 32 now, so it's probably going to be his last season at Hibs, and I think he's going to want to go out with a bang. But other than that, you know, I really, really like the lucky Josh Mulligan, who we got from Dundee. He was excellent again last night, and I think...
Kieran Bowie, surely.
Kieran Bowie's fantastic. I mean, the way that he uses his body, and just gets himself up against defenders, it's absolutely excellent. And if we can keep him free from injury for the rest of the season, then we've got a real, real player on our hands. And I think so does Scotland.
Who's Hearts' main man going to be?
Well, the reason that we never finished third last season was because we couldn't get Lauren Shankland on form. But he looks happy, settled, signed a new deal, recently married. He looks fit, raring to go, and he's coasted under the radar with the sort of praise that Braga's been getting and the other guys or whatever, but he's looked every bit the player that scored 32 goals the season before, so I can't see past Shankland.
Marriage settles you down, does it? Okay, I'll bear that in mind when Gordon Dale's back on tomorrow.
He's well settled.
Let's stick with Hearts, but same question to you both. How do you feel about your manager?
for me, well, I'd say that Derek McInnes, I think, is a masterstroke for Hearts. I've been calling, you know this, I've been on the Derek McInnes fan club for the last 5 or 6 years. I think he's everything that Hearts need right now. And I'm just looking forward to seeing if he can deliver some of the stuff. He's talked about the style of play. He talks about George Burley and the way that Hearts used to blow teams away at the start. And we've seen that in the sort of the games that we've seen so far. If you can bring that to the actual games that matter in the league, then it's going to be really exciting for Hearts this year.
To the other, Liam, these might get harder depending on what club we visit, but I think if you still call him Sir David Gray, it probably sums up how you feel about him.
Yeah, I mean, he had a tremendous season last year, didn't he? And he just seemed to get everything right after 12 games. And, you know, we've seen so far this season in the competitive games against Midland that he's not doing anything else wrong. The additions that he's made have been good and are affecting the starting 11 positively. So, you know, he's, for us, he's the man. And it's going to take 100 men or more to drag him away from us.
And the most important one of all, Liam, from the heart side of things, disappointing season. Stephen Naismith and Neil Critchley, and you had Liam Fox had to come in and see it over the line. You've now got Derek McInnes. You finished seventh last season. Where will you finish this season?
Yeah, you've got to be sensible in looking at third. You know, I mean, that's part of his biggest problem. We've got to get rid of these yo-yo seasons where the peaks and troughs, the highs of one season are matched by devastating lows the following. Third has to be the target, and I don't think it's unrealistic to think that that's where we'll end up.
And as for Hibs, ropey start, sensational finish, David Gray, Rocky Bashiri, all the stories were there. Where are you going to finish this season, Liam?
I think it's just a copy and paste of Liam's answer there, but to be honest, I think we should be pushing for second, eh?
And how much does a superior head-to-head record in the derby matter to you both, incidentally?
Oh, it's everything, isn't it?
Yeah, that's why we go for managers like Confetti, because they can't win these games, man.
There we go.
Second.
Got to aim high, Hugh.
I know, but
look good. They look good over the last few games.
Kevens is about to poke fun at someone else's prediction or aim, though. My goodness.
Yeah.
Anyway, right. Thank you very much to both Liams, Liam Corbett from This Is My Story on the Heart side of things, and Liam McLennan from the Hibs Ramble on the other. You two, quickly then. It's more quick fire for you. Where will Hearts finish?
Third.
Hibs.
Fourth.
Where will Hearts finish?
Fifth.
Wow.
And Hibs third.
Okay. Main man for Hibs.
Kieran Bowie.
For Hearts.
Shankland.
Braga.
Okay. All we need is Claudio Braga. Anyway. Right, that's Hearts and Hibs done. Let's move on to Ewan, who's a Livingston fan. How are you, Ewan?
I'm good, thanks, Gordon. How are you?
Not bad, thank you, Ewan. Sum up your feelings ahead of your return to the top flight. You've not been out for very long.
Yeah, it was nice that it was a short stay in the Championship, but I think being the Premiership side, getting relegated to the Championship, I think the expectation was to try and bounce back as quick as possible. And although we might have missed out on the title on the final day of the season, I think just managing to get out of the league at the first time asking, I think, is a successful season, along with winning the Challenge Cup along with that as well. So, yeah, Martindale certainly gave himself a bit more credit back in the bank after a couple of poorer seasons.
For a whole host of clubs, it is firstly about staying in the division, but it was always particularly true for Livy. They were one of the real examples of it because of the budget, continually punched above that. David Martindale, though, this season, revealing that this is the biggest budget you've ever had in the top flight due to the new ownership. What are the realistic aims and ambitions?
Personally, I still think the ambition is to stay in the league. I know it's an increased budget on what we've had previously, but I still reckon that the vast majority of the league will dwarf our budget still. So if we were to finish 10th place this season, I would, again, bite your hand off for that right now and hopefully can again maintain our status in the Premiership for a few years to come.
Now, you would, as a Livy fan, you're probably sick fed up of talking about the pitch, but then you kind of have to because you've put a new one down. Now, it's still artificial, but it's new, so it's new and improved, and it's better, and it looks better, and it plays better. But this is also set to be the last season that they're permitted in the top flight. What about all that stuff over the summer?
I think going to why we put the plastic pitch down, I think we were informed by the SPFL that we wouldn't be allowed to get promoted unless we took the pitch up. And don't get me wrong, our previous pitch was probably past its sell-by date, but I reckon if players are coming to both ourselves and Falkirk, because ours is a kind of recent upgrade of what Falkirk have got, if players are coming onto our surface and saying you can't play football on it, then they're just not very good at football, to put it bluntly. I think the pitches go through so much scientific testing for artificial surfaces, and certainly last season in the Championship, we played on some horrendous, horrendous grass pitches, Dunfermline and Partick Thistle in particular, at points of the season, which are deemed good enough for playing football on, which it was near on impossible to play a 5-yard pass on them. So, yeah, I think our surface will make a few people eat their words. As I say, I'm fully aware that our pitch previously was probably in need of a upgrade, but yeah, I think the new surface looks very good, and I think it's shown in the way that we've been playing in the most recently cup games on it as well.
Like we say, asking everyone these questions as part of the preview, how do you feel about your manager? You need to throw the assistant in, or the coach here for this show, because Marvin's back Brian as Rice. Well, isn't he? Oh, he's gone upstairs.
I'm delighted Marvin's back as well. He was obviously a hugely popular character when he was club captain, part of a very successful team, and then obviously moved into the backroom staff, and it's brilliant to see him back. That obviously kind of coincides with a bit of a reshuffle with Chipper moving upstairs, but I think that again is kind of a testament to the new ownership, and I think trying to almost continue to make the club slightly more professional, even behind the scenes. But going on to Martindale, I think after 18 months of pretty turgid results and turgid performances, and I think himself would probably say kind of started to lose that passion a little bit, I think after last season he's got that back, and as I say, I think he deserved last season in terms of having credit in the bank and having a go at trying to get us back into the top flight. But he's certainly got a lot of credit in the bank. I'll have to admit I had to eat my words to Davey and did message him after we won promotion in Dingwall to say that I'll eat some humble pie for some negative comments probably on a podcast here or there. But yeah, he's absolutely got my backing.
Right, semi-quick fire here then. You've made loads of new signings, some familiar names in there like Shane Blaney from Motherwell, Graham Carey from St Johnstone, Aidan Denham, Hearts, Cammy Kerr, Stevie May, Zach Rudden, Mo Silla from Dundee, Adam Montgomery on loan from Celtic, Macaulay Tate from Hearts. Who's your main man going to be?
I actually think it's maybe guys that we've managed to keep a hold of. Jerome Pryor in goals, yep. He kept 22 clean sheets in 44 games last year, so I think managing to tie him down till 2028 now, I think is a huge, huge piece of business by the football club, and also extending Robbie Muirhead's stay. Again, he was pivotal in getting us promotion, yep. 19 goals in 48 games. So, but in terms of the new arrivals, I say Tate's a new arrival, but he was there kind of second half of last season. Yep. Again, I think he played a huge part in our upturn in form and our performances, and I think probably next time in the middle of the parks, Mo Silla from Dundee will be a crucial bit of business, having lost Jamie Brandon, who played a lot of last season as a kind of number six.
Okay, one word then, where are you going to finish?
I'll go for 10th.
9th. 10th.
10th.
Okay, plenty more.
No, I thought 9th. You don't need to repeat yourself.
Right, thank you very much. Top stuff, previewing Livingston's return to the top flight. We've got all the other clubs still to come. We're going to preview them all, so stick with us, and plenty of time for other stuff in there as well. Let's play this first.
Beat the Pundit with the Scottish Sun.
For the best football news and opinion online, thescottishsun.co.uk/football.
Always room for Beat the Pundit though. Lines close at 7 0141 951 1025. Step up to the plate if you think you're brave enough.
Taking your calls on Scottish football, 0141 951 1025. This is Clyde One Super Scoreboard.
Hugh Keevans and Scott Allen are here. We've been poring over Brendan Rodgers' very interesting comments from today. We've reflected on Rangers signing Mikey Moore. We're now in the midst of a preview of every single team in the Premiership between now and the end of the show, so we better waste no more time and crack on with this.
Beat the Pundit with the Scottish Sun.
For the best football news and opinion online, thescottishsun.co.uk/football.
Beat the Pundit time. Ali is on. How are you, Ali?
I'm fine.
Have you ever played before?
No.
Okay.
Plenty of times on live stream, but not on the phone.
Good stuff. How do you usually do?
I start a bottle after two questions, mum.
That's not good. Have you got company, Ali? Can I hear someone in the background?
We're in a taxi in London right now. We've got to see Oasis tomorrow night.
Oh, super. Producer John's down there as well. That's why. What about him, Producer John? Giving it big licks, Falkirk this, Falkirk that. 15 years out of the top flight.
Football daft.
Well, he's not even here. He's away at the Oasis in London, missing Falkirk's big return to the top flight. Some Falkirk fan. Anyway, right, Ali, if it's the blue side of my new Beat the Pundit coin, you'll play Hugh Keevans. If it's the red Super Scoreboard side, it's Scotland. You're not seen this yet. Neither have you seen it.
No.
Oh, it's a work of art, isn't it?
Yeah.
It's beautiful. Zenith Coins sent it in. I could feel a bit of weight in that.
Yeah, that's beautiful.
Love it. Anyway, we'll get you one. Ready? Let's do it. I'm afraid it's Scott. It's the red side. It's Scott Allen taking on Ali in the taxi in London. So let's give Scott something else to listen to. Ali, you have 30 seconds. Answer as many as you can. Pass if you don't know the answer, okay?
Yep.
Okay, 30 seconds on the clock. Your time starts now. Who was Rangers manager last time they played Motherwell on the opening day?
Steven Gerrard.
Who beat Celtic in Ange Postecoglou's opening day league game? It's first one.
Ash.
Who plays in the Championship in Scotland tonight?
Pass.
What country are Midtjylland from?
Norway.
Dundee United reached the final of which European competition in 1987?
UEFA Cup.
In what year was the SPFL formed?
2013.
Who won Scottish League 2 last season?
Pass.
Okay, Scott Allen, you ready? They're tough tonight, by the way.
It was tough last week. Maybe Summer League. Chop
your game. You ready?
Let's go.
Time starts now. Who was the Rangers manager last time they played Motherwell on the opening day?
Pedro Caixinha.
Who beat Celtic in Ange Postecoglou's first opening day league game?
Hearts.
Who plays in the Championship tonight?
My bro Thayer.
What country are Midtjylland from?
Denmark.
Dundee United reached the final of which European competition in 1987?
UEFA Cup.
In what year was the SPFL formed?
2009.
Who won Scottish League 2 last season?
Scottish League 2. Oh, you're joking me.
3, 2.
Be ahead.
What do you think, Gally?
I've had 5 pints of Guinness, right?
Oh, don't make the excuses now.
Ali, let's go through them and find out. The Rangers manager last time you played Motherwell on the opening day, you said Steven Gerrard. Scott said Pedro Caixinha. It was
Paul
Pedro Caixinha.
No,
oh, you're right, I remember that one. But yeah. No, Pedro Caixinha. It was a Graham Dorans double.
Yep.
2017. So 1-0 to Scott Allen. I must admit, I said they were hard, but you were flying through them. It was Hearts who beat Celtic and Ange Postecoglou's first opening day league game, 2-0 to Scott Allen. I'm afraid the Guinness is starting to hit Ali because Arbroath against Ayr is tonight. I mean, to be fair, he's not bothered. He's got to see Oasis. He doesn't care about the Scottish Championship tonight. 3-0 Scott Allen. Midtjylland are from Denmark's 4-0. Ali, was someone trying to help you with that question as well and you ignored them?
Yes, it's Jamie here. Thank you. I'm trying to tell him. I said, just listen to me. He wasn't listening to me at all.
Somebody shouted Denmark and he went, Norway.
Oh, you're kidding.
Okay, the UEFA Cup though, Ali, I'm pleased to say you didn't get a zero. That's what I was getting worried for you at that stage. UEFA Cup, Dundee United, but Scott got it as well. Ali, there's a bit of fight left in Ali. You know that way once the pints, and then you maybe start to rally a little bit. So 2013 for the SPFL. You were miles off. So Ali got a second on the board. Even though I was on the countdown, 3-2-1, you got it in time and it was Peterhead. So 1-2-3-4-5-6 for Scott Allen and 2 for Ali. Hard lines, Ali.
Scotland, yeah, I
like
to play.
Everyone says that. Ali, we're previewing every team in the Premiership tonight. Now, naturally, we've done a lot of talk on Celtic and Rangers already anyway, but you can just step up to the plate quickly as a Rangers fan. Give me the predictions. Who's going to be your main man this season?
Kasama.
Where are you going to finish?
Top.
Okay. Thank you very much to Ali and his entourage, by the sounds of it, in a taxi somewhere in London.
What's that?
Taxi drivers thinking
Rangers,
there.
Rangers top. Definitely, maybe.
I like it. I see what you've done there. Please don't take us down that road.
I nearly went there.
We'll be here all night with that, I suspect. There we go. As we said, we are whizzing around all the teams to try and give a full, comprehensive, or as much as you can do in this short time, preview of the Premiership season. We've done Hearts, we've done Hibs, we've done Livy. We speak to a lot of Celtic and Rangers fans anyway, and Ali's given us the predictions. Let's go Kilmarnock. How are you, Simon?
Hi guys, how you doing? Hope you're doing well.
Same to you. How would you sum up your hopes and thoughts on the season to come?
So when Kitwell was appointed, I wasn't too impressed. I thought it was a cheap option. I spoke about that before. But he's slowly winning me around. Obviously, the most important things are to come with the games. But he's like noises as me.
Right, Simon's line's a bit dodgy, so we'll try and get that cleared up in the next couple of minutes. Make sure
I think
you know,
a wonderful insight into what's going on with the very first game, Kilmarnock-Livingston. I think that'll tell us a lot of things about both sides.
El Plastico.
Yeah.
We'll see how that one pans out. Hopefully we're going to get Simon back in just a second and keep that going. Going to go around all the clubs. We're making pretty good progress. I was a bit worried about my timekeeping, especially when Hugh started ranting at the start of the show, but I think we're doing okay. Simon, can you hear us now?
You mean?
Yeah, good. You were just saying you thought Kettlewell was a cheap option. You weren't impressed. I was detecting maybe a but.
Yeah, but I think it might actually be a case that he's the right fit for Kilmarnock and we're the right fit for him. He seems to be making all the right decisions. I think the news today is one of the best bits of news we'll get and signing a long-term deal, 3 years. He's been on the fringes of the team. He was out on loan at Inverness last season, but he's came in this season out of position at left wing-back, but he is, what a player he is. He reminds me of Aaron Hickey. He's right-footed, traditionally a right wing-back, but has been playing left wing-back and cutting inside. 3 goals already from that position. I think he's going to be an absolute standout this season. He's going to be a superstar. He's, you know, to get in for 3 years is more than I think Kelly fans expected. We hoped maybe we'd get an extra year out of him, but I think he sees the potential. If he stays here, plays well, he'll get his move. So yeah, it's good signs if he's going to play more young players. I think by the sounds of it, David Watson is signing a new deal in the next week or so. So yeah, getting all these young guys tied down, giving them game time, will be certainly a departure from last few seasons and hopefully a positive one.
As part of our preview, asking every fan what they make of their manager, you give us a hint there. Elaborate if you can as to why Stuart Kettlewell's winning you round, if that's the right phrase.
He speaks really well. I don't think that was ever really in doubt. I said that when he was appointed. You know, he talks a good game. But I think, you know, when he said he was going to play young players, you can sometimes think a lot of managers say that's an easy thing to get people inside, but he seems actually good doing it. I think that the style of play is going to be a lot different this season. You know, we were very long ball under Derry McInnes. It was very much kick and get the ball into the dangerous areas or get crosses into the box, and it's not like that. We've got a lot of passers of the ball. I think Tom Lowry is going to be a really good player for us this season. Really, really, he's only like 6'4", but he's a fantastic passer of the ball. Really good in possession, which I'm taking last in the last few years. I think that, you know, that style of play is going to be something a bit different to see. And to be honest, I think it's just a case of if we can be known in the relegation spot, which the squad is more than capable of being, and we get a bit more young players and a bit more entertaining football, then I think people will get a season of maybe 8th, 7th or 8th, and, you know, no real over-excitement. But yeah, we're going to have to cut cloths. You know, the chairman said that it's became clear that, you know, we're spending so much money under Derry McInnes. Him and his coaching staff were huge earners, and I think we needed to cut our cloth and you know, we'll see how it goes when the actual games start. But you know, he's seeing all the right moves at the moment.
Well, I was going to say, I think in terms of possibly number as well, but in terms of players who played a real part in previous seasons leaving, Kilmarnock must be top of the tree in terms of the biggest upheaval. The names that have left this season: Bobby Wales, Danny Armstrong, Liam Donnelly, Corey Ndaba, Fraser Murray, Stuart Finlay, Kyle Vassell, club captain, then even guys who played, you know, still a good part, like Liam Donnelly, Gary McKay-Steven, Kieran Mahara, the goalkeeper. That's an incredible list. Simon, what do you make of the business this summer?
Yeah, it's been interesting. I think we've improved in goals. By all accounts, Robbie McCrory will be leaving. He's a high earner. He's not done it for Kelly. It's a shame. It just hasn't worked. He's never fit. And when he has been fit, he's never had a chance to get a run of games because of that level of fitness. And he's never really had a chance to stop being shaky. Max Stryek has came in and goes, big Polish goalkeeper who was at Livingston before.
Yeah.
He's looked fabulous. He's very commanding. He's always shouting his defenders, getting them organised. He looks like an upgrade. I think at the back, we're still a couple of defenders short centre-backs. I think we need a guy to replace Joe Wright in that terms of, you know, a big solid defender who's just going to win headers. We've got a lot of ball-playing players. We've got Mayo and Stanger who are good on the ball. Dees, who's obviously okay in possession, but you know, that's not his forte. But I think we need that. We need probably a backup at left wing back for Ben Brannan. But so far, you know, the midfielders look good. I say Tom Lowry looks good. Big Marcus Thacker, 6'7", and probably a wee bit on top of that, actually, to be fair. He's huge. And he's actually got a really good touch. He brings people into play. He just doesn't look like a goal scorer. But I think it's a case of we'll probably try and see if we can get rid of Marley Watkins as well. That's the rumours. See if he can get closer to his family. He's a big earner as well.
Yeah.
And maybe bring in somebody like Theo Bear, who obviously knows the manager very well. He's apparently free to leave Auxerre, so maybe we can free up a bit of cash and get something like that, a more prolific striker up front. But yeah, positive signings so far, but a few wee additions that we just need.
Asking everyone for their predictions, I think, did you say 7th or 8th? You said that already. Simon? I'm sure he did, yeah.
He said 7th or 8th, yeah.
Right, I think we've lost him. What are you saying for Kelly?
I think the bottom six will be a season-long war of attrition and Kilmarnock will finish 8th.
8th I had down as well.
8th as well, okay. Any thoughts for main man? Well, too much upheaval in that squad.
Yeah, I like a good goalkeeper and we've got themselves a good goalkeeper. Okay. I think.
Oh, I'm not getting a goalkeeper, the main man. Can be. Season. No, I'm giving it to Tom Lowry.
Jack Butland says hello.
Ben Brannan, young man that Simon's talking about. Anyway, right, that was Kilmarnock done, added to quite a few others that we've ticked off already. What about Rangers opponents tomorrow? Motherwell, and very, very interesting summer on a number of fronts. Stephen's a Motherwell fan. Stephen, sum up your thoughts ahead of the new season.
Excitement, I think, would be the one word. I think some of the football that we've played in the group stages, particularly latterly, against Morton, is exciting, and we seem to be getting better with every game as well. I think that's the most encouraging thing, that when a new manager comes in, you can see what he's trying to do, and it's getting us on the edge of our seat. And yeah, I'm really excited for the season ahead.
How do you feel about the manager then? Because it wasn't meant to be this way. Michael Vimmer came in, we hardly knew him, 12 games and left again and had to be replaced.
No, that was a shock. Obviously, there were good signs under Michael. We'd been at Ibrox, got a fantastic result. He came in, done his job, managed to keep us up. And then against Ross County in the last game of the season, I thought that was a really encouraging performance again. So we were almost ready to go into the new season under the new manager, and there was excitement. But I think the executive board deserve huge credit for continuing down the route of a foreign manager. I don't think there's such a thing as a safe appointment in any way, shape or form in football, but I think for the board to continue in that kind of a mould, if you like, under Jens, who's worked at final clubs in the past as well, in Gothenburg, I think that's big as well. I think the board deserves huge credit, and I'm really excited by the way that they're trying to play, because we seem to be wanting to impose ourselves on the teams, and that's the way I believe that we should do it moving forward.
Depends how you look at these things, Hugh, if you're an optimist or a pessimist, because Stephen's talking about those League Cup games, actually, they've just got better and better, and they're getting more and more used to this very different brand of football that Motherwell are going to try and play. I'm sure there will be some fans, though, who would say, well, you know, Drew with Clyde, struggled to get past Peterhead, yes, got better against Morton, but still worried or at least not sure how it will go against so-called, well, not so-called better teams, factually better teams.
The stardust factor has gone with Lennon Miller. I assume that Motherwell will sell him before the window closes. There's no chance in this world he'll play against Rangers tomorrow. And that money will need to be reinvested. Otherwise, I'm not sure about Motherwell this season. I think they'll be certainly the bottom half of the league.
Scott, we go over and over debates about style so often here. Usually it's when Celtic get into Europe, or maybe Rangers, because there's the accusation that they've lacked it. It's always interesting when one of our so-called smaller teams has a real, real distinct style, because some actually, it feels like, don't even have one, and that's no harm to them, you know, just the way it is. There's not a lot of teams really want to, you know, like, but off the goalkeeper, proper playing out from the back. I don't know if you've seen Motherwell. If Motherwell have possession, the goalkeeper is like on the halfway line. It's so different to last season. What are you thinking? Can it work?
Yeah, ultimately, I think there's still a bit of time left. I think Hugh makes a good point there. When Lennon Miller goes, can they reinvest that and maybe bring some players in who obviously implement it in the new manager's style? But I still think it'll be a difficult season for Motherwell. I think it's all well and good obviously saying that's how you want to play, but when you come up against teams who physically are going to be stronger than you, and technically I think there's a lot of teams in the division this year who are technically better than Motherwell as well, I think they'll find it hard. So for me, I think they'll be ninth.
Stephen, a lot of business done as always, or a big rebuild there always is at Motherwell. Shane Blaney, Dan Casey, Steve Seddon, that's, you know, a lot of a defence there certainly. Players that were on loan, various ones like Kai Fotheringham, you know, finishing the season, Jack Vale, Tony Watt, Moses Ebiye, Dominic Thompson, Davor Zatrovsky, Luke Armstrong, just so many players came and you know, kind of bloated that squad last season. Motherwell have actually bought players this time, which is, you know, not often done thing. Ibrahim Said was one of them, but also come in Lucas Fadinga, Elijah Just, Emmanuel Longuello, Jordan McGee, a bit more familiar name, Elliot Watt. Who do you think the main man's going to be?
The main man, I don't think it's going to be a new signing. But what I will say about the new signings is they all look good. They all look as if they can add something to the team. But I think the main man is going to be Callum Slattery. I think he came back in January last season after a long-term injury, and he was a shining light. But I think there's other players in the team that can have a good season, like Tawanda Masanisi, who's flourishing. So there's a couple, but I'll go for Callum Slattery.
Where will Motherwell finish, Stephen?
See, I've got a theory that one of the... You always expect it to be Celtic, Rangers, Hearts, Hibs, Aberdeen in any particular order, but I've got a theory that one of those three never seem to hit the heights it's expected of them. And I believe that we can get into that top six. I'm going to go for a fifth place finish.
Wow, what are you thinking, Hugh?
Tenth. Ninth.
Main man?
Callum Slattery, I really like him as a player.
Yeah, Slattery.
Go along with that. Okay, Stephen's optimistic about Motherwell's fortunes. We'll continue our Premiership preview when we return.
0141 951 1025. This is Scottish football's league leader, Clyde One Super Scoreboard.
Scott Allen and Hugh Keevans are here on our Premiership preview. We're making quite good progress, I have to say. I was worried that we wouldn't get round the full league. We've done Edinburgh, we've done Livy, Kilmarnock, Motherwell. We're progressing okay. Is that right, Hugh? You keeping a list?
Yep, I've got my league table all written out there.
Hope you keep me.
How dare you?
Hope you keep me right. I think that's the biggest gap we've just had between predictions, though, where Stephen, the Motherwell fan, said fifth and Hugh said tenth. That's the biggest difference I think we've had so far. Let's go not too far from here. Let's go Paisley. Jamie is a St Mirren fan from the Misery Hunters. How are you, Jamie?
Yeah, not too bad. How's yourself?
Oh, good, Jamie. How would you, as a fan of the team that keeps kind of punching above their weight in those three consecutive top six finishes, how would you sum up your thoughts ahead of this new campaign?
I mean, we've lost some bodies, but we've gained some really good players through this transfer window, and I think we've actually improved in some areas as well. So I think we're going to continue punching well above our weight.
Yeah, I'm looking at that actually. I was down there doing some work yesterday, and in terms of the kind of main names that have left, They stick out like a sore thumb. Olasanya was excellent. Caelan Boyd-Munce was excellent. And, you know, then you get Richard Taylor, like a sort of mainstay as well. And, you know, then one or two others. They would be the main ones. Killian Phillips has now become permanent, but that was always going to happen. You look at some of the others that have come in as well. Malik Dykstiel, I think the latest. I actually bumped into him. I felt sorry for him, Hugh, because he walked right up to me in the St Mirren training ground and shook my hand. I'm almost certainly just thought I was some club employee, but I was just kind of lingering around. Seemed like a very polite young man. Various others. Jamie, you confident the business has been good?
I think so. Obviously, you know, Boyd Munce is a huge one. He was really good in the centre of our midfield. But then you've still got Ocean Smith, who was challenging in that position and had some good performances last season. And then you've got young Fraser Taylor looking to make a name for himself. You know, he's a Paisley boy, he's a St Mirren fan. He won League One Player of the Year with our both last season. So and he's looked not too bad in the League Cup group stages so far. So it'll be really interesting to see how much more game time he gets as sort of the league progresses and how he can keep himself in that squad.
A few Jamaicans in there as well, Hugh. A bit of a Jamaican theme going on. Richard King, Jomaro Calvin.
I think you touched on an interesting point straight away, Gordon, when you said that, you know, Stephen Robinson has done a magnificent job. Tomorrow or Sunday, I beg your pardon, at Celtic. I thought when they played Celtic, the final game of last season, they were far better than Celtic and would have got all 3 points but for James Forrest with the last kick of the ball. But there's always a kind of shelf life in terms of the Premiership, and you know, I don't see St Mirren in the top six.
You think it's hard to just keep doing that level of success? Jamie, how do you feel about your manager? Jamie, can you hear us?
Can you hear me?
Yeah, got you now. How do you feel about the manager?
Yeah, I think, you know, Robinson's probably one of the best managers St Mirren have had in my lifetime. I think is obviously there's always going to be names of clubs down south and that are going to be linked with them. And I think as long as we keep them, at least for the majority of the season, if not the whole season, then I think we're going to be top six again. And I have no doubt in Robinson that he'll be able to do that.
Scott?
I've got them as sixth. I've got them down for sixth. I think they've replaced some of the players they've lost. I think what Stephen Robinson does well, he recruits well for the kind of style that he plays. They're very physical. Some good ball players in there as well. Fraser Taylor, who we touched on there, someone I know really well. I think with his creative spark, he's very good on the ball with that physicality round about him. I think it's a good balance. Main man for me will be Adu. I think it'll be a big season for him. I like what I've seen in him.
Not top six, but seventh.
Oh, okay. Jamie, who's your main man going to be?
I think it's going to be Mandron. I mean, he's already shown so far 4 goals in the League Cup. I think he'll still have his eye. I mean, there was mumblings about last season about whether he could make a Scotland squad. I think he'll still be up for that, so as long as his form continues. I think he'll have a wee eye on there, and I think he'll continue scoring some goals for us this season.
Got options. Killian Phillips has been excellent, hasn't he?
He has been, and even him and Adolwu linking up so well together, especially against Ayr, setting up the 2 goals from Adolwu for Phillips to score. I think we've got a few main men in this squad, and that's what's good about a Stephen Robinson team.
I went to speak to Killian Phillips the other day, and I have interviewed him before, but it was just a reminder. You holidayed in Ireland recently, didn't you?
I did.
I challenge you to find a thicker Irish accent in the Scottish Premiership or anywhere else for that matter.
You ever been to Sligo?
Killian Phillips, I haven't.
Where's he from? Ireland?
Actually, I think just Dublin. Dublin, yeah. But oh my goodness.
A man came and sat down beside me at a bus stop. I couldn't understand a word he was saying, and then he just burst into song. It was wonderful.
Where are you finishing then, Jamie?
I'm going to say fourth.
Wow, high hopes. I don't mind it, Jamie. I don't mind a bit of it. Listen, this is what this Friday night's all about. You can throw anything out there and we'll see what happens. Thank you very much, Jamie, giving us the St Mirren preview there from the Misery Hunters podcast. Let's move on to last season's Scottish Cup winners, no less. Aberdeen. Gavin is on from the ABZ Football podcast. Gavin, how does that feel to hear? Does that still bring back good memories?
Oh, absolutely. You've brought me right back to that moment when Dimitar Mitov won the Scottish Cup for Aberdeen. Yeah, glorious stuff.
How much of a different complexion does that put on this season? So it's like football in a nutshell, isn't it? Penalty shootout goes the other way. You're probably on tonight reflecting on a really poor end to the season, maybe wondering where you're heading under Jimmy Tilleen. Does everything feel rosy now? How do you feel about the new season?
It's an interesting point for sure. Unquestionably, winning the Scottish Cup puts a huge amount of credit in Jimmy Tilleen's bank, the only manager in history to win the Scottish Cup in his debut season. But it does not take away from the fact that over the course of the last 27 matches of the league season, we were statistically the worst team in the league. We finished bottom in that situation. So there's still concerns. There's still things he has to show that he's worth all the backing he's been given by the club. But I think we're quite optimistic as well in the way that we've recruited through the summer, the players we've moved on, and hopefully the business we still have to complete before the window closes.
So see, on that then, because I've been asking every fan how they feel about their manager, forgive me if I'm putting words in your mouth, but does that mean that you'd probably be looking for a good start off Jimmy Tilleen? Like, although he's won the Cup, you'd still be looking to see signs early on?
I think the consensus amongst Aberdeen fans would be that we want to see more flexibility, both in terms of his approach in formation, tactics, and also in personnel. And I do think it's integral that we carry on that wave of momentum, that the feel-good factor in Aberdeen that weekend was incredible. We did carry that on, and you know, we have a huge match on Monday against Hearts of Tynecastle. A positive win there would be a real statement of intent for how we approach the rest of the season.
And Hugh, that's just, it's not to almost poke fun at it, it's not a criticism, that is just kind of the beauty of football. The margins can be tiny, yeah, and it changes everything. It's a history making day for Aberdeen. There's a bus parade, you bounce into the next season.
Yeah,
you'd be hoping if you were Gavin or everyone involved that you can sort of harness that. I don't know what that means. I don't know how you measure that stuff, but harness that feel good factor and take it into a new season.
Well, good luck to them. I hope they all enjoyed their great night out in Union Street, but they'll get turned over by Hearts on Monday night, and then Gavin, they'll finish fifth in the league.
Would you take fifth, Gavin? No.
Well, I mean, if you give me the Scottish Cup again, then yeah, absolutely.
Scott, how do you see it? Fall, Scott.
I think, you know what? I think that we have to aspire to be as good as we can be, improve upon last season. I think it's going to be a very interesting season from the point of view of how our heart is going to improve. Can Hibs maintain the form they did? What will United look like? St Mirren. So it's going to be a very interesting season, I think, all across the Scottish Football League.
Where do you finish then?
Scott, hold on, we'll get to that. Scott, what about the... I'm going to leave that to the end. What about this challenge that we see time and time again about balancing European football?
Yes, yeah, listen, it's difficult. I think when you look back over the history, a lot of teams have suffered in the early parts of the season. That was one of the reasons why Aberdeen got off to a flyer when you look at last year. But I think they would have learned a lot about his team. I think fans have as well. Some good signings came in. Obviously riding that wave of winning the Scottish Cup as well. So for me, I think Aberdeen will finish fourth.
Looking at the business that's been done, there was... Oh, in fact, Papa Gay went... Was that today, actually?
Yes.
I think he did. There's been a few. Jamie McGrath, a real high-profile one, of course. Trying to maybe offload some that maybe didn't quite work out as well. Well, Kevin Nisbet is maybe one where the jury was out. Some would have him back, some wouldn't. How do you think you rate your business over the summer?
On the whole, I'm fairly happy with it. I like the sound of the players we've brought in, and I think we've made correct decisions as far as some of the fringe players we've let go, and I think there'll be more to go. I imagine like Felix Vrbozic will be departing before the end of the window. But I think if you ask any Aberdeen fan, there's one area of the pitch that we still need to address, and that's that quality number 9, 2025 season goal. 25 a season striker. So hopefully we can get that done as soon as possible.
Great. Who's your main man going to be then?
Well, on that note, I'm hoping our main man isn't here yet.
I like that. And where are you going to finish?
Well, I thought I was being optimistic when I just heard the St Mirren fans they're going to finish fourth. I'm actually being quite conservative. I'm going to say Aberdeen are going to finish third. I think we're going to buck the trend. We're going to manage both Europe and domestic football. Will be there in third place, and make no mistake, we'll be back in first off again.
There we go. You said fifth.
Fifth.
And yep. You said
fourth.
Any players catching your eye?
I just see with Aberdeen, I just think if you make Pittodrie a sort of fortress, I think it's very hard for teams to go up there and get results. I think they've obviously the fans are like their 12th man, and I just think when you come off the back of a season like that, considering how bad some of the league form was, I think they're moving in the right direction.
Okay, let's go to Dundee and Ethan, who's a Dundee fan. You know what's happened already, Ethan. You're the one that everybody's fearing for because of the League Cup form. Is that fair or is it over the top? How do you feel about the season coming up?
I mean, from the outside, I guess it is fair because, I mean, all you can really see is the fact that we've exited the League Cup quite early and the appointment, I think, was... maybe not universally criticised, but I know the departure of Tony Docherty was universally criticised, and it wasn't a particular popular appointment on either end with Stephen Presley coming in. So from the outside, yeah, I can totally understand why, but I feel it never really kind of pans out that way. If someone crashes out the League Cup group stage, does it really mean that they're in for a horrible season ahead? I know St Johnstone obviously aren't the best example given last season. But previous seasons have been Premiership sides that have crashed out early, and it doesn't really seem to translate all the time.
True.
And I'm hoping that's the case for us.
Yeah, I was going to ask you clearly that you're one of a number of teams with managerial change. I've been asking the other fans how they feel about their manager. You touched on it a bit there. Tell us a bit more about how, even in that month, is it, how your thoughts towards Stephen Presley are developing, if you like.
Yeah, well, to be honest, when he first got there, he went back in time and asked any Dundee fan, who do you want to be the next manager? I don't think anyone really would have said Stephen Presley. I certainly wouldn't have said it. So it was very much one that caught everyone off guard.
But what I'm getting, what I'm gauging so far is it's not a really a traditional managerial appointment. The whole framework, the club have emphasised this, that the football departments are a complete restructure and they're going for more Americanised model with, you know, the head coach. They're trying to take some weight off his shoulders, I think. So I think ideally he will be just a tactician that will take on the first team, try and get results, and not as much emphasis, you know, in regards to recruitment and transfers and all the other stuff that a manager kind of has to balance out all at the same time. I like the way he talks. He talks a lot about getting the best out of the group, which means, you know, no style of play for them to adapt to, but rather he adapts the style of play to suit the players. And that's quite refreshing. We've had a lot of managers over the years that were very stubborn in their ways. So this kind of gives an idea of that he's going to be quite flexible with how he manages the squad, for a start. And, you know, when he was asked about what philosophy he wanted to implement, he just simply said that he wants a team that's adaptable and pragmatic. And I think if you go back to the last Dundee manager that had, you know, some real success, you know, getting the club into to Hampden and Europe through Jim Duffy, he inherited that, you know, that team from Ivano Benetti. He did the same thing. He didn't look to set the players to suit his style. He went for what was best for the group. So, yeah, when he says things like that, it kind of draws me in, and I'm very intrigued to see, of course, how this all works out in the end. Not the greatest start, obviously, with the League Cup group stage, but I think, you know, that doesn't always translate into the league season, like I said earlier. So, yeah.
I mentioned Kilmarnock earlier as having the biggest upheaval in terms of first team players gone. Dundee might push them close. Lyle Cameron, Jordan McGee, Josh Mulligan, Joe Shaughnessy, Scott Tiffany, Mosilla, Adewumi, even other ones like Larkesh, Seb Palmer Holden, you know, lone players that played a lot, Portales. Who's going to be your main man this season, Ethan, and where will you finish?
Yeah, it's a lot to replace, and that's definitely a major concern for us at the moment. In terms of the main man, I could easily cop out and say Simon Murray, because he, of course, carried us last season with a lot of important goals.
You'd be welcome to that. That's fine.
Yeah. Well, no, I'll give you a better answer, just a kind of one to watch. I would say Amari Samuels, the left back that was signed last January from Brighton and Hove Albion. He looked very sharp in pre-season, the League Cup group stage. He looks like he's, you know, ready to be unleashed. He kind of had to play second fiddle to Ziad Larkesh last season as one of our better players. So yeah, I'm putting my money on Amari Samuels. Like, going to be our breakout star.
And you're finishing where?
I don't like to really give predictions this early on. I like when, you know, at the end of the August window
Come
and
on.
Kind of see where everyone is. But you know, I won't leave you hanging. I'm going to say at the very least. 10th. I don't think we will be in the relegation scrap the same way we were last season. I think we will retain our status.
Good man. Dundee.
Desperately wrong to get rid of Tony Docherty. Drained of quality.
Oh, and we'll, I know where this is going.
We'll finish in the Championship.
12th. Straight down. Well, that means it won't happen, Ethan, so don't worry about that, because he never gets anything right. Scott?
12.
Oh, it's a double whammy. Unbelievable. Ethan,
go on, say it to him then. He said it to me.
He's unproven. Yeah. Thank you to Ethan from Dens Park Choir. Looking ahead to Dundee's season, even if he's been battered down by the two pundits, we'll finish off our Premiership preview. I think two clubs remaining, is that right? We'll do it when we return.
Tackle the headlines. 0141 951 1025. Clyde One Super Scoreboard.
Into the final part of tonight's Clyde One Super Scoreboard. The SPFL season is actually up and running now. Our Broth and Ayr have kicked off. Premiership follows tomorrow. We're previewing every single club. Let's move on to Dundee United, fresh from Dundee, down the road. Joshua's on. How are you, Joshua?
Good, thank you. How are you getting on?
Great, thank you. Happy with last night?
Yeah, I mean, it's hard to be unhappy when you're through, but there's obviously a long way to go. But yes, very happy.
How would you sum up your feelings ahead of the new season then? Because again, it was a good season, hence why you're in Europe. Can you follow on?
Yeah, I mean, you can only feel excitement just now. We've still got a European tie to go. The only sort of dark cloud I've got in my head is how hard it can be to keep up league form when you've had those European ties. Like, we've obviously got to get past Falkirk on Sunday before we can even get to Austria. So, yeah, mixed, but very excited for the next 2 weeks.
Yeah, we were asking every fan really of how they feel about their manager, where their manager's position sits as far as the fans are concerned. I take it all good for Jim Goodwin having got you to Europe last season?
Oh yeah, I mean, yeah, absolutely. Bit of a bit of a hurdle at the end of last season, but that result against Aberdeen was just amazing. So, yeah, happy, very happy.
A lot was made, Joshua, of this stuff about playing no Scots in the starting 11 last week. I actually liked Dundee United's tweet last night saying Scotsman Craig Sibbald starts the game tonight. I think there'll be a number of teams that might end up not being far away from that. And what, you know, we're led to believe that it's okay to have, you know, one, but it's unacceptable when that number drops to zero. I think Dundee United are the first to feel the brunt of it. But anyway, what did you make of all that stuff, Joshua? How do you see the squad coming together? Because it is still quite extreme. I think 17 different nationalities in the dressing room.
No, I mean, it is. It sounds like basically signed an entire new team. But I think it is a bit extreme. I mean, we've got a lot of injuries. Ross Graham, obviously, being an obvious one, not playing.
Captain.
Did start last night. But we've got Miller Thompson, Kai Fotheringham, Owen Sturton. Like, hopefully they get some game time and, you know, those tweets can be put to rest.
Go on then, of all your... Well, it might not be a new man, might be someone who's there already. Who's going to be your main man this season?
I'd like to say Zach Zapsford, just because he's still in Sam Dalby's boots, but I'm really interested to see how Owen Sturton gets on. I hope he does get a lot of game time. I think he's definitely one to watch. Yes. The youngest player United have played in Europe. I don't know even know for how long, but yeah, I think he's quite exciting.
Yeah, as you say, big boots to fill, Sam Dalby. And in fact, I maybe would throw Dundee United in. I don't think they're quite at Dundee and Kilmarnock levels of having their first team sort of dismantled from last season. But when you look at Ross Docherty, Declan Gallagher, Glenn Middleton, Louis Moll, Tony Watt, no, sorry, he was in loan at Motherwell anyway, Lucas Stevenson, Jack Walton, the goalkeeper, David Babinski, Alan Campbell. So, yeah, not on the same level as those other two teams, but that's still a lot for your first club, Scott.
I think looking at the players, it's personalities that are coming out of the change room. I know quite a lot of the boys, and there'll be good influences around the dressing room. And I think especially when you've got a lot of players, as you touched on, Gordon, 17 different nationalities, you do need the players who...
The first goal of the new SPFL season's a stunner from the air captain, Jamie Murphy. Curling it into the far corner, that is a cracker. Right, quickly then, before we move on, Joshua, where are you going to finish?
I'm going to accept no less than top six, and I'm hoping for fifth.
Okay, Hugh, Dundee United.
Dundee United Nations, I have rebranded them sixth.
Scott Allen.
I've got them seventh.
There we go. Okay, thank you to Joshua and our final club. 15 years out the top flight. Lewis is a Falkirk fan. How much are you looking forward to it, Lewis? What are you thinking?
Yeah, I'm just nervous, excited all at the same time right now.
It's so long in coming, Lewis. I mean, way longer than anyone probably thought, because in that period as well, you don't need me to remind you, it was the third tier for lots of it, you know, rather than the second tier. So
that's right.
What are you thinking about life in the top flight?
Do you know, it's been a bit surreal to do back-to-back league titles. It's been tremendous. I think it speaks volumes for the manager and all the staff behind the scenes, not just the players. But you know what? The good thing we have, I suppose, is the continuity that we've had in the squad. Now, it's a big debating point because neutral fans and opposition fans are saying, will these guys be good enough for the step up? But that was the same question we had last year as well.
And then those who oppose your view would say, yeah, but it's a big step up, and it's another big step up. You're confident that continuity, Scott Bain, Brian Graham, Lewis Nielsen, Henry Cartwright, the only signings, you still think that's enough?
In terms of recruitment, I would have, if I'm being completely honest, I would have hoped for a few more by now, a right winger in particular, so that we can get Calvin Miller back over to the left side where he kind of belongs. He's more effective there. The manager said there's still hopefully two or three to come. There's a couple of young lads from down south he's looking to bring in. I do take the point, it is a big step up in quality. But if we get off to a good start, you never know.
How do you feel about your manager? One of the success stories, back-to-back promotions, back-to-back Manager of the Year awards, after a bit of a spell out the game as well. You must love his work, surely.
Yeah, I mean, it kind of speaks for itself. You know, back-to-back Manager of the Year, to be sitting here saying we officially have the best manager in the country. I mean, it has changed days, though. I mean, because, you know, after the Airdrie playoff game, there was a section of the support at that time wanted him gone. But since that point, you know, the club, thankfully, believed in him, they stuck with him, they kept that stability and continuity, and since then he's worked wonders.
Go on then, who's your main man going to be?
So 50-50 between Brad Spencer, who's kind of vital, but I think I'm going to go for Calvin Miller, because we probably need to be a bit more clinical as a team. We're a bit lightweight, both in terms of numbers and physicality at the moment, and that's where we struggled last year. But stepping up the level, as you said a moment ago, we're going to have to be a lot more clinical, because there's going to be games at this level where we might only get one or two chances a game. So we have to try and be a bit more ruthless. But I think if we're going to create something, I suspect Calvin will be involved.
And quickly, where are you going to finish?
I'm kind of torn between Champions League and Europa League, to be honest with you. But I mean, joking aside, given Livy have signed about 400 boys and we have the smallest budget in the league, I would settle for 10th right
now. Okay, Hugh Keevans-Falkirk, where are the finishing?
Joe McGoon's a miracle worker, but there comes a time when reality hits, and I think they are in the playoff, and I just hope it's not against Partick Thistle. Brian Graham against Partick Thistle.
Wow. Scott Allen?
Yeah, I've got them in the relegation
as well. So. Okay, thank you very much to Lewis. Now, we spoke about Celtic in depth a lot at the start of the show, but the one thing I still think we were missing is that quick fire, those predictions, the preview. So we've got Nick on the line. How are you, Nick?
Pardon. Hi, Hugh. Hi, Scott.
Got very straightforward questions for you, Nick. You're going to round off the Premiership preview. Who's Celtic's main man going to be this season?
Well, I think they need to bring somebody in. They need a top striker. I mean, Rodgers has been our most successful manager since the great Jock Stein. And I think they need to bring in the likes of Miowski, Lennon Miller, and I would like to see a winger. But I think Brendan is capable of bringing silverware yet again.
It's a good shopping list. So you think, although I know there's a lot going on and a lot being said, but in terms of where you think Celtic will finish, you think they'll win the league?
Yes, of course.
Right, Hugh Keevans, in fact, we'll save you to last. Scott Allen?
First.
Celtic still to win?
Yep.
I think Celtic will win the league because it'll be Brendan Rodgers' last at Celtic Park, and he will want to go out, and his legacy will be league title.
And there we are. That is it. Done and dusted. A full comprehensive preview. All 12 clubs, we've given them a bit of a nod ahead of the new season. We've given the predictions, and you heard it here first. Hugh Keevan says Celtic will still win the league. He started the show being very critical. They've still got enough to win the league. Scott Allen thinks so as well. We'll get a full list of all the pundits' predictions on tomorrow's show, because we will be here at 2 o'clock. Yes, the fixture list is a bit all over the place this weekend, but we will be here 2 o'clock on a Saturday afternoon. See, when you hear that tune, this one right here, when you hear that at 2 o'clock on a Saturday, that's when you know the football season is back. We're looking forward to it. We wish you well in your new coaching venture at East Kilbride. Who do you play to kick off League Two season?
Spartans.
I should really know that, but nevertheless, good luck to you.
Spartans at home tomorrow.
And as we said, there is actually an SPFL goal already being scored, because our broth against Ayr in the Championship tonight. Jamie Murphy has Ayr 1-up. Sleep well. Everything you've dreamt about over the summer, you find out if it's in motion to become a reality tomorrow. That's where it all begins. You might lose your first game and think that it's all a disaster. 37 more to follow, but the first one's always special, so we'll do it tomorrow from 2 o'clock, and the GBX is up next.
Super Scoreboard with Col Robert. Restore your alloys to a factory finish in no time.